evening, and welcome to Off the Record with Georgette Pierre, where there are no filters, just us. I am your host, Georgette Pierre, and tonight's episode, I am going off the record with hip-hop violinist Damian Escobar. But before I do, let's get into the OTR report, short for Off the Record, where I'll sound off on something bothering me in the media, life, or just shit I just want to get off my chest. My friend and comedian Norman is here to join me. Norman, are you ready to do this?
Miss Jet, always a pleasure.
How are you?
Always ready.
Always ready. Okay, so this happened to me sometime this week. Don't you have those moments where you are thinking about somebody and you're just sometimes afraid to let them know, and then you're just kind of let your ego win that round for you? I definitely found that happening to me. I actually posted the status on my Facebook, and I had all these people reply and comment. And I was just like, listen, I don't care. My ego won this round. Like, I'm not changing it. That's the end of the story. It's not happening. Like, I'm not going to hit this guy up. I don't care. Oh, Lord.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. I try not to let it happen, usually, is all I can
say.
That's all
so you've never been talking to them
before
you? When you're thinking about somebody, do you just kind of send them a message?
I don't think that, as a man, I don't really think you get the privilege to do that sometimes, because we're always kind of like in pursuit. So I think a woman's pride is, it's not for me to talk about, but a woman's pride gets in the way of a lot of things.
Yo, that is interesting, because the fact that you said men don't have that privilege because they are always in pursuit. Please tell. I'm curious about that. I mean, you know, it's funny because the guy actually ended up hitting me up out of the blue, and usually me being a Leo, I you know, we love the attention. We would rather someone initiate. And so he hit me up like, "Listen, listen, I miss you." And I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, I miss you too." I was like, "Score. I didn't have to send the message. He says it first, like, end of story." And I'm like, "You're dead. Like, really?"
Yeah, well that's a good, hey, that's a win. That's a win-win for both people right there. As long as he's telling the truth, that's a win-win for everybody.
As long as he's telling the truth, I can agree to that. So, Norman, obviously you're going to be joining me again to finish off the report when we jump into the pop culture madness.
Definitely.
So stay tuned. Yes. Norman, what's your Twitter handle? So they can find you.
Twitter handle, Normie Norm. That's NOR2MYNORM.
Boom. Norman, thank you. You stand by. Norman's joining me again. If you missed the OTR report, it'll be available on my website at georgettepierre.com. After this show, if you have something that you want to go off the record about, email info@georgettepierre.com, subject line, the OTR report. Now, introducing the guest of the hour. Who would have thought music would have changed his life? At the age of 9, violinist Damian Escobar got accepted into the Juilliard School of Music. Performing as the violinist duo alongside his brother Tori, the two went off to achieve much success, winning 2 Emmy Awards, performing for past presidents, selling over 1 million copies of their album, plus more. With his solo mixtape out called Sensual Melodies, Damian Escobar, better known as Dame Esco, stopped by to talk his journey to greatness, his philanthropic efforts, and his upcoming tour. Join in on the discussion at 347-202-0591. Damian, how are you?
Oh, my gosh. With that introduction, you got me feeling like I just got a Grammy. I'm feeling good.
This is what I do, Damian. This is what I do.
Wow. I'm trying to. I got to make sure I don't say anything stupid. I feel good right now. Wow.
You can never do that.
I feel good.
Yeah. So how are you?
Oh my gosh, I feel blessed. I'm none short than blessed. It's a beautiful day in New York City. I'm feeling good. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
I love your name, by the way. Strong name, Georgette Pierre. I'm like, whoa.
Thank you.
I'm like a good bottle of champagne.
Ow, this is how we do, okay? Now, what really just caught me and wowed me was when I read about you entering the renowned, prestigious Juilliard School at the age of 9. Now, could you have ever fathomed that, Damian, with your upbringing? Like, what was that like?
I mean, To be honest with you, I mean, my upbringing coming from South Jamaica, Queens, I had no idea what Juilliard was. I mean, for me, it was just another program. I excelled at the violin in about a year and a half. My teacher, she said, look, I want you to audition for this school in Manhattan. So I went to audition for the school, and when I got there, they let me know that it was college, and they said, we want you to come to this college. So I was the youngest kid in there at 9 years old, and I went there for 4 years. And it was a dope experience, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was dope, it was new, it was fun. But if I got to look back right now and say and say if I remember anything, I'd tell you I don't remember a damn thing about it. Only thing I know, it was cool. I learned a lot.
Wow. I mean, knowing that, because I remember when I used to hear about schools in New York City, like at one point in time, I was like, Juilliard sounds fun. And then you hear about it in movies, and it's like you get the opportunity to do that. Do you think, I mean, in your situation, do you feel like that was your big break into what it is that you're doing now and the opportunity that you've seen thus far?
That's a dope question. I would have to say no. I mean, I would definitely say that. I'm gonna be honest with you. I would definitely say that it gave me a really great start, an introduction to the instrument, you know. But my experience in Juilliard, to be completely honest, was they held me back a lot. It wasn't until, and you know, my story is I played violin on the streets in New York from when I was 10 years old until I was 17 years old. You know, so I would have to say what made me the artist I am today is the fact that I played my violin on the subways and tested my sound out in front of audiences of all kinds. But Juilliard helped in honing my sound because, I mean, I live a double life. You know, I felt as though, you know, being in the hood, I was with Dr. Dre, and you know, and after school in Juilliard, I was with Bach. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what came out when I created music in my late teen years.
That's funny because I actually was going to get into that. You and your brother were this dynamic duo, and I live in New York, and so I'm not even going to lie. When you see people on the subway playing music, you get so used to turning people off. Like, I'm just going to plug in my earphones. Was that a humbling experience for you?
No question. I mean, it was you know what? And I have to say that out of the 7 years I played on the subway, I can count on my fingers how many people didn't want to hear my violin. I can count on my fingers. I've only got, like, a really good reception out of 7 years being down there. But trust me, you know how it goes, being on the subway. When people don't want to hear it, they're going to be the most loudest, obnoxious people on the train just yelling, telling you to get off. You know what I'm saying? You know how it goes. So I got those stories, too. Yeah. It was crazy.
That is crazy. So I want to talk about you and your brother being this dynamic duo. And, you know, you've won 2 Emmy Awards, and obviously that's a prestigious award in television. Can you tell us what did you all win the awards for specifically?
You know, I produce music as well. And, you know, and my brother and I, we produced our first record together. You know, I composed music for a lot of, you know, dope films. You know, I worked on Step Up. I worked on Robert De Niro's flick, What Just Happened. And I scored a lot of commercials. So the Emmy Awards that I did win was for Best Song in a Television Series and Best Song in an Art Segment. And I won an award. It was like, it was kind of like a Cold War. It was weird because I won the award for when my brother and I, we went to the White House to play for George Bush. And a network covered it. They did like this human interest piece, and we scored the music for it. So we kind of got like a double award for that section. But that was a dope year, and it was a humbling experience. You know, that was the year that our album came out, and, you know, the Grammys didn't choose us to go on, and we didn't get nominated for anything. But the Emmy Awards called us and said, hey, you guys got nominated for X, Y, and Z. So I was just happy to be nominated. And then when we got there and they said we won, I was like, wow. You know, I brought my mama on stage, and I brought everybody on stage. They were sick of me. I brought everybody on stage, yeah.
We turned up.
But
why wouldn't you? Like, that is an awesome experience. Like, how many times do you think you win an Emmy Award, especially probably at your age, you know, being young?
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think I was like 22. I was about 22.
Oh, my gosh. So, wait, may I ask how old you are now?
I'm 27.
Oh, my.
I just turned 27. My birthday just passed.
Happy belated.
Thank you very much, Gemini.
Happy belated. Oh, my gosh.
That.
I mean, that's inspiring, like, seriously. Now, do you feel accomplished at all to say that you've won an Emmy, to say that you produced music, to say that you performed for, past President George Bush? Do you feel like you've accomplished at all?
No, that's my problem because I don't. You know, I don't. You know, and I've done some pretty incredible things, and a lot of people tell me all the time that, you know, you have to take a moment and look at what you've done, you know, but I'm the type of person that feels as though when it's done, it's done. You know, what's next? You know, what's the next thing? What's the next goal? You know, And to be honest, you know, that's kind of like a, it's a downfall of mine, because maybe sometimes I should just stop and just appreciate what I've done. But I'm an overachiever. You know, I won't be done until I take this instrument that I love so much and this sound that I created and that I own and cross it over into the market that I want it to be. I want to have an instrumental record in top 40. You know, that's when I'll feel accomplished, when I see young kids in the hood wanting to pick up the violin instead of wanting to rap. You know what I'm saying? When I can do that is when I'll feel accomplished. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, everything else is cool. It's just all foreplay before we get to the, you know what? You know what I'm saying?
It's all foreplay. That sounds sexy, Damien.
No question. No question. We do that too.
I love it. So most recently, you helped raise $50,000 for Jamaica Performing Arts Center in Queens, you know, helping send underprivileged kids to summer camp. Let's talk about that and then the other philanthropic efforts that you're working on.
Sure. You know, it was actually for the YMCA in Jamaica, Queens.
Okay.
I'm a board member of the YMCA. I grew up there. You know, they gave me my start. And this is the second time I did this concert for them. You know, the first time, you know, we were lucky enough to raise $130,000. But this time was my first time doing it as a solo artist. And it meant a lot. It meant a lot for a lot of different reasons. It was my first time doing a solo album, not a solo album, sorry, a solo performance in my home city, you know, which was a really emotional moment for me, you know. But on the flip side was that I had an opportunity to give back through my music. And, you know, it was kind of dope, like no press at all. There was no press coverage. And we just grassroots marketed the hell out of this performance. And we sold out the Jamaica Performing Arts Theaters, and we raised $50,000. And now we can send 1,000 kids from South Jamaica to camp this summer and hopefully, you know, help to do our part in putting an end to youth violence. You know what I'm saying? And give them a start. Show them that there's something else out there, you know, other than guns and other than all this bullshit that they do on a daily basis. So
right,
it's definitely dope.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do that with them, and I work with UNICEF. I work with UNICEF as well.
And so you have also an organization called, which I love the name of, Violins Against Violence. Is that a collaborative effort with like a YMCA, or is it just something that you're kind of working on your own?
It's my thing that I'm working on my own. You know, the mission with the whole movement is, I mean, it's obvious. It's just with my violin, I want to stop violence in the easiest form to put it. But, you know, on a deeper level than that, you know, the goal is to really just go around to schools around the country and put after school programs, music and arts programs. All these things around the country have been slashed due to budget cuts, you know, and there's no one really spearheading that movement to get it back into school. You know what I'm saying? So for me, by me doing this through my organization, I want to be able to give back, raise the money, put the programs back into school. I said something on Twitter. I was on a Twitter rant one day, and the thing that I hate the most is that when entertainers and celebrities, you know, and people, you know, we wanna start supporting causes when you start seeing hashtag pray for Boston or help Haiti. It's like, why did Haiti have to go through a storm before we wanted to help them? Like, why do we have to wait for some shit to happen before we want to give back and help? Why can't we just help before the shit hits the fan? You know, so
right.
You know, I got a new voice. You know, hopefully I can start a trend amongst more established artists and, you know, start a movement. You know what I'm saying?
Now, how can people support your organization, though? So if people are looking to donate or, you know, volunteer, like how can we
for sure
something to that?
I mean, well, we're in the process of putting together the website right now. We did have a website up, and we're going through a whole rebranding phase for it. But you can just go to my social networks, facebook.com/DameEsco, or follow me on Twitter. I'm always, you know, posting updates and things about the organization. And just kind of stay tuned, because once the website relaunches, for Violins Against Violence, it'll be violinsagainstviolence.com. They can go, they can donate. We have a lot of, you know, information. But in the, you know, in the interim, before that, people can still donate to the YMCA. There's a website called JamaicaYMCAGive.com that we created for online donations. So if you want to donate anything, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, just donate to the kids, you know, give back. You know what I'm saying? And once you donate, hit Twitter up, tell us why you donated. Tell us why you donated and hit hashtag why I donated and let us know. We appreciate it.
So it's Jamaica YMCA Give. That's how they can at least do their thing for now.
That's right.
Okay, good. I'm going to put
both
on my website.
I appreciate
so
that.
No problem. I'm going to get into your mixtape, though. Sensual Melodies, which was released in May. I want to play a quick snippet of one of the tracks that your lovely publisher sent me, Anne. Shout out to Anne.
Boom, boom.
I'm going to play a little bit of Alicia Keys featuring Drake called Unthinkable. And you really get into these strings. So,
oh, no question. Quick.
Melodies. It was like my first mix. It was my first time ever doing cover music, and I got to feel it. The music, I got to be able to tell my story, you know, through that track. You know what I'm saying? So it depended. Like when I did Emotional, when I covered it, you know, I was going through some shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's why you hear in the beginning of the track, I'm saying it hurts. You know, it hurts so bad. You know what I'm saying? And I just wanted to express myself that way on that track. But like for the whole record, it's like. It depends on what mood I was in. You know what I'm saying? If I finished Making Love, I wanted to write a song that was Yeah, Yeah by Poetry. You know what I'm saying? You know, and with Adorn, I was telling that woman that I adorn her. You know what I mean? And for Emotional, at that moment, I'm like, fuck this. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like it was a musical roller coaster in creating that mixtape. But when all the songs were done and when I listened back to the whole project, the way it flowed, you know, so effortlessly, I was very satisfied with it. And the reviews have been dope.
Oh,
people are really digging it.
Yeah, for sure. Well,
yeah.
Where can we find this mixtape at?
That can go to a couple of places. To get it directly, you can go to thatpiff.com, go into the search section and just type in Damian Escobar. Or you can just go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Damesco, and the link is right there. Just download it.
Yeah.
Free download.
I'm going to have to promote that link. I am. Because I want to hear it. Now I want to hear it more. Because I love me some Miguel. I love his music. I got to hear that.
Hey, you got to listen to that whole record. I'm telling you, with that special someone, let that record provide that soundtrack for the dessert. I'm telling you.
Oh, I will. Trust me. I will. The world needs to hear that, baby. The world needs to hear that. Now, you said you produce music, and what I'm curious about is there's a lot of artists that now really get into or have been getting more into or getting back to live instrumentation. So how does it work if someone says, like, they want to come holler at you, they want you to come do some strings for a track? Like, do they just hit you up and be like, oh, I know a violinist that can play some strings? Like, how does that work?
I mean, it depends. I mean, people can hit me up. I mean, they can go to, like, bookdamesco@gmail.com. I mean, I'm open to hearing a lot of things, but I got to be honest, I'm really picky about what I play on. Like, I really got to feel it. You know what I mean? There's nothing bougie about it. I just take music seriously, and I don't do it for the money. You know what I'm saying? I do it for the passion and the art of it, you know? So I got to really feel it. It doesn't matter if it's a Joe Schmo that's just coming up. If I feel like they're really dope, I want to work with them. You know what I'm saying? So if you think you're dope and you want some dope strings on your project, hit me up at bookdamesco@gmail.com and let me hear what you got.
Oh, I love that. See, I love that. I super love that. Now, we're already halfway through the year. What are you working on? I know you're cooking up something, Damian, whether it's a tour, whether it's, you know, some new stuff. Tell us what you got going on.
You know what? I'm excited because, you know, I'm actually working on my first solo studio album. and I'll be releasing original music. My first single's coming out September 17th. You know, we're going to do a whole dope release party. I better see you there. You know, I hope you're going to be in the building for that.
I will be there.
For sure. I'm going to touch the stage. Yeah, I'm going to touch the stage for that. And, you know, I'm really excited to put out this original music. You know, I got a, you know, I Am Me is the name of the studio album, you know, and the album is self-explanatory. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to just releasing that project and just, you know, staying focused about what's to come tomorrow, really.
Oh, I'm excited for you. So Sensual Melodies is out right now. You're working on I Am Me. Is there a release date for that yet?
If I were to give you one now, I'd be lying to you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to start the relationship off like that.
That's
I don't
want
to start it off like that. September 17th, the single is coming out. I can tell you that much. September 17th, the single is coming
out. Okay, so you got a single coming out soon. Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, I know you've been blasting it throughout the interview, but just one more time, please tell us how we can find you online.
For sure. I mean, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Damesco, DameSeco, or hit me on Facebook, same thing, DameSeco, Instagram, all the same thing. My website was going through menopause or some shit because it just started spitting up at me and stopped working. So, but we're about to get that back online, hopefully later on today. Shout out to my webmaster, but you can go to DameEsco.com for everything. Everything is DameEsco. That's it.
Okay, cool. I appreciate that, Dame. Thank you so much for stopping by. I can't wait to hear and see the things that you're working on. Like, that's amazing. I swear, like,
I appreciate
everything you're doing is really inspiring. So I definitely want to help however I can. So you make sure you drop by some exclusive, you know, next single and all that jazz.
No doubt. Will do.
Thank you. Well, you have a good evening, Damien. Definitely have to thank Damien for stopping by and joining me. Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Okay, so we're jumping right back in to the Off the Record Report. This time we're getting into pop culture madness. Norman, are you back with me?
Yo, what's happening?
Let's do this. What did you think about Damien Esco? Awesome, right?
Man, that was a mind blower, to be honest.
With the strings. Oh, my gosh. I was like, am I listening to the violins or am I really listening to Alicia Keys' track? Because it really sounded like
I don't think that I've heard anyone play a violin, to be honest. Not like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I heard some of his other stuff, and you'll be blown away with that. He even hit Rick Ross's Dice Pineapple. And I'm not even really a fan of Rick Ross, but he definitely was on point with that track. So big shout out to Damien Escobar. Okay, so let's talk about these headlines in pop culture. Let's start with the first one. Okay, so I'm not into the BET Awards like I used to be. I cannot do it anymore. The fact that they still haven't shaved off an hour from their award show, more for like an hour and a half, is a problem to me. But one thing that kind of stood out to me that I saw on Twitter that made some headlines was, so B. Scott is a blogger, and he is really known in the industry. I mean, like, fierce honey, looks really fierce, fast, whatever. And so he went through all these changes.
Yeah.
He had his looks ready to go, and apparently BET didn't, I guess there was some miscommunication, and BET didn't like the look that he had. So they made him change, and that sparked off fireworks on the internet. And obviously, from what I initially said to you, later on, BET made a statement to the Associated Press apologizing with miscommunication, blah, blah, blah. What do you think about that? What do you think about BET Awards period and that situation that happened to these guys?
I mean, I'm not one for a man in heels, but, you know, I think that BET, I think BET messed up, though. They knew what they were getting, you know. That's like going to a restaurant, ordering something off the menu, and sending it back to the cook, you know what I'm saying? They knew exactly what they were getting. And like, you know, like a cook, like a good cook, he was offended. He rightfully should have been. It was a bad move.
Right. I agree. Now, obviously, moving on to the next thing. One of the BET Awards, to be honest with you, I saw another highlight. There was a section where Bow Wow was on the stage presenting, I think, the Coca-Cola Award. And Drake was. And I know Drake is with YMCMB. Bow Wow, we all know that you signed to YMCMB. But he was just being so extra to me. I was not a fan of that. I couldn't take it. Like, normally I really couldn't take it. I was like, really? But if you saw interaction with that girl, he's like, yo, like, why are you bringing it up? And then all of a sudden, after that, when Drake won, he had to make sure he repeated 1,000 times that he was with YMCMB. You have not dropped an album. You have not done anybody's mixtape. Bow Wow, it's okay. Like, it is okay. Trust me. It's fine. We get it. We get it. Trust me. It's okay.
He still makes music? I thought he was retired or something. I didn't know he did music.
You know, I don't know. I have no idea at this point.
He sits on the couch at BET for a living. I don't know music.
He is Mr. 106 at heart, like he said. So, getting off the BET Awards, I know you saw the video where ASAP slapped the female fan. Listen, I would have cried, one. Two, I would have deleted my computer. What do you think about that? Like, I mean, okay, I get it. So many people were slapping his head, Norman, but there was no need for him to reach out and just slap somebody. Like, these people were excited to see him, and you slapped the girl. Really?
When I saw it, I just held my mouth open for a little while, and I was just silent. And then I had to rewind it back, and I watched it, like, maybe three times. And then I had to laugh at it a little bit.
Oh, my God.
But maybe he wasn't trying to slap her. Maybe he was trying to give a high five, and he missed.
No. The way that girl got that was not a high five. That was not an intentional high five. The man slapped her. And now, whether he knew it was a female, I don't know. But I just, when you saw his hand just pop up, snap the girl, and come back down, I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, poor girl.
No, it was bad. She probably went to her phone, I'm deleting all this shit. I'm deleting all of it.
I choose to feel bad for the girl. Last but not least, it's been blowing up on my timeline today. Jay-Z, Magna Carta, Holy Grail, he revealed the album cover art. But let me tell you what he also did. This is how you know Jay-Z is a boss. This man got the cover art. He has it on display at one of the locations that's home to one of the four surviving Magna Carta documents in the UK. Who does that?
I'm impressed with him, man. That's all I can say. I'm impressed with him.
I like, what can you, and then you know 1201 tonight, for those that have the Samsung and that are in his app, his album is going to be available.
I'm excited. I got to have it.
You know, I know one thing. I wasn't that pressed to go find a Samsung to download.
Oh, you got to get Jay.
No, you know, I'm still old school in the sense of I want my album. I want the liner notes. I want the physical CDs to blast on my Bose speakers. Like, I want the album when it drops next week. So I'm okay with it. But I know Twitter will blow up one time, guys.
Yeah, I want the hard copy, too. I got to get the hard copy. But I'm impressed that he wanted to change the game. He even got the RIA to change the rules about digital copies. I think he's doing his thing, man.
Yeah. He definitely got, I mean, the RIA was like, so let's talk about this Common Sense update. Let's make these albums available for, you know, certification the day that they drop opposed to 30 days after, at least with digital albums. And so technically Jay's album is digital because it's coming through a phone app, an exclusive phone app.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Obviously, you know, pop culture is constantly changing every day. So, Norman, thank you for being able to run down the OTR
Like,
for me.
Like Jay said, it's the Wild Wild West, baby.
I love your Jay impression. I love it. Very, very impressive. Norman, you can find me online at Normie Norm. And until next week, Norman, thank you again for running down the report with me.
Thank you, baby. Thank you.
So I have to thank Norman again for joining me. Obviously, you can find him online at Normie Norm. Again, if you missed the OTR report, it'll be available on my website at georgettepierre.com, GeorgettePierre after the show. If you have something that you want to go off the record about, email info@georgettepierre.com, subject line the OTR report. I have to thank Dame Esco for joining me tonight. Find him online at Twitter, Dame Esco. DameEsco. You can also find that as his Facebook page. His Mixtape Central Melodies is out now. You can catch this episode and other archive shows podcasting on iTunes by searching Off the Record with Georgette Pierre in the iTunes store. And I'm now on the TuneIn Radio app, so go find me and favorite me right now. I'll leave you with one of my Georgette-isms. Here's a quote by Florence Scovel Shin that I got from the Daily Love newsletter. Every great work, every big accomplishment has been brought into manifestation through holding to the vision, and often just before the big achievement comes apparent failure and discouragement. I can definitely relate to that. Thanks for listening to Off the Record with Georgette Pierre. Peace.